Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, you want to take our anchor scriptures. You want to read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 as our first reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Good. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The key word here is the fear of God. Amen. Now let's move to our second reading, Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth anything concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Last reading, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. And we are all going to read together. Then the churches throughout all Judea. Oh, we are reading together. Let's go. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were. So the church was walking in the fear of the Lord. It pleases the Lord that we still continue in the matter of Are Thou Anointed, and on the sub-series Corporate Anointing, as we take third protocol to observe as far as corporate anointing is concerned. And today's message is a very long title, and it's Descending the True Fear of the Lord in the Assembly of Believers. Descending the True Fear of the Lord in the Assembly of the Believers. Building from last week's message, I established to you that there are three protocols and two acts that is needed to generate the corporate anointing. Three protocols. And I taught the protocols in ascending order, which was that the first protocol is that the spirit must find an order to be able to flow through. So with one accord, I spoke about that, where there is that kind of oneness, unity in the spirit, or unity in spirit. That was the first protocol. So that is the ascending order. But actually, in each act of manifestation comes in the descending order. But I decided to teach it in the ascending order because of what I want you to get. Then the second one is the alignment of what? The believers. So that is, there should be an alignment. And last week we looked at it as what? Examining yourself. That one examining him or what? But let a man not examine himself. What's the message? I hope you remember that one. So we're looking at alignment, how we align in church. And I said that if you are in true alignment in church, there are three things that you will be found doing. What is the first one? Yes, I want to see if you were with me last week. There were three things that I said that if anybody is in alignment in the church, such a person reveals. Number one, okay, let me mention the first one. The first one is that that person is able to walk in his divine purpose. Able to walk in his divine purpose assignment. So you don't say that because Pastor Bless shouted on me, I'll not do the work of God. You don't see that about the person. What is the second one? The support and honor of each other. What is the third one? I've mentioned that. That's functioning your God-given purpose. The third one has to do with walking out. Okay, so when we all work together in the same purpose, so you are able to work with other believers. So we look at Genesis chapter 11 verse 6 as an as a scripture to back that point. So we looked at the alignment. Then the final one which I mentioned is that reverence for the Lord, who is the head of the church. Are you following me? And today, that reverence is what we are looking at. And the message title is what I've given to you. Discerning the true fear of the Lord in the assembly of believers. If God is reverence, if the presence of Christ, if there's reverence for Christ, the Lord, in the assembly of the believers, how do we know? How do we come to the knowledge of it? So when you come here and said, here is the gathering of the Lord, how do we discern to know that indeed God is revered here, for the people to be in alignment, for them to be in one accord, for corporate anointing to come down? Start it now. That's the protocol. So it starts with we reverencing God, and in that act of reverencing, we come in alignment. And in that act of alignment, there is unity in the spirit for the manifestation and the release of the corporate anointing. Are we on the same page? So now, let's look at it. Today, I'm going to establish you why some of us do not waste our time to go for certain Christian programs. Because it would be better for us to sleep and rest than to go to a place where there's no reverence for God. Where there's no reverence, there's no respect for God. So bear with me, and I want to help you. You see, some of you, the moment you hear that the name of the Lord is mentioned, you want to jump on those programs and go to those places. It could have been of benefit to you if you have slept, or gone to watch football match, or even watch a movie. It would have been more beneficial to you than going for such gathering. So today, walk with me to know how to discern a gathering that has reverence for God, where the true fear of God is there. Now, before I go in, let me talk about the concept, the fear of God, or fear of God. In the teachings of our father, Apostle Joseph Mintai, from scriptures, you will find out that we have three kinds of fear that is stated in the Bible. The first one is that the fear of God that is taught. Psalms 34, verse 11. The kind of fear that is in scripture is that fear which is being taught. We teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, as here it said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So there is a fear of the Lord that is taught. There must be a knowledge imparted to you concerning the fear of the Lord. And what is this kind of fear? This has to do with the awesomeness of God as perceived by human beings. So even this one, those who worship deity and other forms of religion teach that kind of fear. There is a way we perceive God in his awesomeness and who he is that makes us to deduce certain knowledge and teach people that this being is this. And for that matter, you have to behave this way. So there is that fear of God that is being taught. Now, this comes by how we see God as being distant from us and can be provoked easily to do what he wants with us. And therefore, this God does not spare you if you err against him. When we are teaching you that kind of fear, we will let you know that, see, the person we are talking about is very distant from us. He's a very, very, very serious man. When you err against him, you will not go scot-free. What do I mean? You see that we are raised with understanding that there is consequences for every wrongdoing, true of us. That is what we call the fear of the Lord. We are being taught to know that there is consequences for every act that is wrong. So you don't need to be what? To experience it, but wisdom profited. So they have to teach you. So it's always said that wisdom is the best teacher, not experience. And this fear is being taught. Now, in the teaching of this fear, you will come to realize by knowledge that you are dealing with a being who is very strict and demands strict adherence to his rules, laws, and systems. So the reason why we punish people sometimes is because we want to make sure that they understand that if they break this law or they do something of this sort, The God, the supreme being that we are all serving, God, is not that very generous. Hallelujah. Is good to be taught? Yes. This teaching sow fear in you of being careful to offend God. And this teaching is good for children. Anybody between the age of 0 to 10 years must be taught this fear. When you grow without this being taught, trouble. So you see that people were raised from homes where there is that demand for reverence and adherence to the things of God, and they understand that there is consequences for wrongdoing. Because they are raised with that understanding and that knowledge is impacting them, they hardly miss the way. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is one kind of fear that we have in the Bible. So there is a fear of the Lord that comes to us as a result of we being taught. How many of you have been taught the fear of the Lord? If there is anybody who has taught this fear as much, it's Evangelist Akwesiegbuya. You know, you people have not listened to his messages those days. When Evangelist Akwesiegbuya preaches and you listen to it, I tell you, fornication, you will not fornicate again. The way the man will spell out the things that will happen to you. I don't know if you have listened to Reverend Abraham, the song minister. Abraham, boy. Continue. You see the song? That song, they are to teach you the fear of the Lord. There's one of the songs that I fear to listen to. When you listen to that song, the whole book of Psalm, I think Deuteronomy chapter 28, he quoted it. When you listen to that kind of song, that's what today they claim that the kind of gospel songs that we had in the early 2000s are so spiritual, because those songs, some of them will teach you the fear of the Lord. If you say, I'm going to listen to that song, go and listen to that song. And you see that, no, there's a God that if you don't adhere to his rules and regulation, something is going to happen to you. So it's very important. So those of us who grew up in those years and age, at least there's a little fear. Even when we want to fool, there's that small consciousness of, hey, when you remember those songs, you be careful. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? Now, the second kind of fear is the fear of the Lord that comes through an encounter with him. Now, as you grow, the fear of the Lord is not only imparted to you through knowledge, but God begins to manifest himself to you in a dimension that he impacts his fear in you. Now, there are three instances in scriptures that God did that to the people of Israel. Now, let's read. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 to 20. When God wanted to impart his fear in them that they will be careful not to sin against him, he manifested himself to them. Now, watch. Let's read and see how he came. Now, all the people witnessing the thunderings and the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. If you see God this way, you will not sin. You will not. So if you skip the teaching, sometimes this is how God will help you to fear him. Now, verse 19. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us. And we will hear. See the fear of the Lord. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Verse 20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. There are some encounters with God that sin. If you have encountered some kind of accident and when you woke up from that accident, you don't mess with God again. Yes, these are some of the encounters that you see. Some people come to a near-death experience, and that when they come out, there's some kind of fear of God they come with that they don't go back to what they do again. Have you ever heard of those stories before? Yes. There is a, if you escape the knowledge, encounter will speak. When you escape knowledge, you encounter him. That he will teach you his fear, that you will not sin not. So see, those generations who saw this, when he said, no, you Moses, go. And so God didn't just, it was intentional that God set the mountain on fire. and with thunderings and lightnings and trumpets. He did it intentionally because there's something he wants to show them that, you see, I may be giving you cloud of fire and cloud of what? The pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. I may have opened the sea for you to walk through. I may have given you manna. But you need to know that this is who I am. That you don't fool around. You respect yourself. Let each one respect himself. Amen. Number two. The second way he manifested himself with them was he spoke to them directly from his voice. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 10. God spoke to them directly to instill a fear in them that they will pass it on to generation. You know, there's this story, I don't know whether it is true, that a monkey was put in a cage and a banana was hung at the top there. Now, the banana was tied to a rope that whenever the monkey tries to climb that rope, it triggers a very hot water and it pours on it. So anytime it attempts, that water will pour on it. Then they brought another monkey who also tried, and then the water, the very hot water, poured on all of them. Then when the third one came and he tried to climb, the way the other two dealt with it, you know what? They have learned their fear by encounter. So by the time the third person came, so you see, that banana hung there for as long as it was. And they were adding monkeys and nobody climbed. Have you been taught that fear? Because of what somebody experienced. Let's read. Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. When the Lord said to me, gather the people to me and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. There's an encounter God will give you regarding the fear of him that you will pass it on to your children. Any form and any way. So when the other monkeys come and they try, see, even when they took their first bite out, the rest who were left, they made sure that they kept that fear of the Lord in the cage. Because they didn't know why they were being beaten. But know that anybody who attempts to climb and eat this banana must be beaten, must be taught the fear of climbing. And this, I believe, most of us, our parents who are in the Lord, try to teach us this. Sometimes they do certain things, or they tell you to do certain things, not because, but because of what they've seen and heard. Are you with me? Are you with me? Go. Now, the third one. Demonstrating his mighty works and discipline that it might be well with them. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So God demonstrated his mighty works. You see that 10 plagues in Egypt and all the things God was doing was also to instill his fear in them, that it will be well with them by discipline, and that he will prosper them. So fear can be learned through encounter. But me, I prefer knowledge. Because sometimes some encounters you may not survive. So me, I prefer the knowledge. Teach me, oh Lord, as I'm a child, I will learn to fear you. Some encounters you may not be able to survive. Don't you agree with me? It's your choice. You can choose encounter or knowledge. It's your choice. Hallelujah. Now the third one, which is about what we want to talk about today, wow, is the fear of the Lord, which we call reverence, respect, or we hallowing the Lord. This fear is where you do not take God for granted and get too familiar with him as a result of him being a father and a friend to you. You see, there is a way you revere people, not because of what they have manifested to you or what you were told, but because there is this respect you have for them. because of who they are. So there is a way we revere God as God, the just judge, impartial God. Not just as our father, not just as a friend, but there is a way we give him that respect and honor. That is the kind of fear that Proverbs spoke about. You see? So if you look at it, if we want to define the true fear of God that every believer must walk with, from all these three kinds of things I've mentioned, is that the true fear of God is being afraid to move without God. Exodus chapter 33 verse 15. To be afraid not to involve God in all you're doing. If somebody really catches the true fear of God, this is how the person acts. He is afraid. See, the only thing that the person fears in life is that God is not there. Now let's read. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses was talking to God. God promised them. That's why when God said that Moses, my servant, feared me, it's because of this confession. God told him, Moses, I'll send my angels. And you know what the angels of God can do? He said, I'll make sure that the promises I've made unto your grandfathers, you will not miss it. I'll make sure my angels will go ahead and make sure that that promise is fulfilled. Is that not enough? Moses said, no. The fear I have for you is that I can't do anything without you. I don't need your angels. I need you. So God, it doesn't matter the miracles you have given me. It doesn't matter the anointing. It doesn't matter whatever it is. You is what I need. And therefore, if you don't move, I am afraid. We can't go. I am afraid. That is why you find out that somebody is walking in the earth. The true fear of the Lord. Are you with me? Okay. So the true fear of the Lord is that feeling that makes you to be sure that he is always with you and involved in what you are doing all the time. Because you know that without him, you can do nothing. So if you find somebody who truly fears God, sometimes you may think that some of them are too religious. If you give them pure water, thank you, Jesus. Father. So, Psalm 16 verse 2. The true fear of the Lord is that you know that without him, nothing can happen. So, you absolutely rely on him. Listen to what David said. Very powerful scripture. Psalm 16 verse 2. Oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. I am nothing apart from you. You are my Lord. I am nothing. Take God out, I'm zero. You see, if you find somebody who truly fears God, that is the life they live. So, by the fear that you are being taught, the encounter you have, the respect and honor, all these three kinds of fear of the Lord, when they come together, we will see that you are acting in a power, in a way that without God. That is why when somebody says that, let's put God aside, I say, hey, add him back. Bring it back. Hey, you want me to do it without God? No, add him. When I see such a person, I know that person has the true fear of God. Therefore, this true fear of God is the combination of love, respect, and dread for God. If indeed you fear God, we will see the element of respect, dread, and then love. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, that this fear is the beginning of wisdom. So whoever respect God, love God, and have the dread for him is the person who has begun the path of wisdom. And this is the true fear of God. Having defined fear, how does this help us to discern and know whether this true fear is among the gathering of believers? Are you with me now? So when you go to a place, you want to find out God is respected, We can see that God is love there. There's the dreadness of God there. We must see those things there. There must be something that the people are doing, making sure that without God, they are nothing there. So now, how do we discern? How do we descend? Are you with me? Oh, church, are you with me? Thank you. Now, let's look at the corporate anointing and the fear of the Lord. How do they work together? Why is Christ being revered very relevant to corporate anointing? Number one, the corporate anointing flows from the head, which is Christ, down to his body when we reverence him. So when reverence for God, which is his lordship and presence, is central in the corporate gathering, then that anointing word will flow. Matthew chapter 18 verse 20. The Bible said that where two or three are gathered in my name. Do you not understand that word? It means that my name is the point of what? Reference. So he's revered over there. So when he said we have gathered in the name of the Lord here, what we mean is that we have gathered here with all reverence and honor and respect for him. Not as a spectator, but the one in charge. It is in that reverence that the anointing flows. So when you go for entertainment and you say we pray and commit it into the hands of the Lord, then after singing some few Christian songs, you switch. Is he in charge? So I hope you are beginning to decode. You will get that. You see the signs of but corporate anointing and reverence for God is because you see the reverence for his lordship. His that when God, you said you have gathered in his name, what it means that he's the Lord. Do you know who a Lord is? So is Christ the Lord in that Christian gathering? Do you see the lordship of him? Do you see an absolute recognition and honor for his presence? Now, thus the church only manifests, listen to me, therefore the church only manifests the fullness of Christ, which is his presence and power, when the church is under his leadership or his headship. Can we read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 to 23? So if we want to see the fullness of God's power and presence, it is when we have reverence for his lordship and his heart and his presence, and then you can see that we are bringing out. So the manifestation and the release are connected. So when you see the church releasing life impact, it means that at that instant Christ is the Lord over there. Now listen to what I said. And he put all things under his feet, he's talking about Jesus, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, over all things. So opening prayer, he's the head. Announcement, he's the head. Anything we do as we come together as believers. That is what our first reading was telling us, that we should put away all filthiness. The reason why he said that is because in the previous chapter, chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 6 verse 14 to 18, he was talking about the promises of God that he made to us, that he would dwell among us. And in the beginning he said that what is the relationship between what? Darkness and light. And what has the belly has to do with the temple of God. Then he continued to tell that he has promised that he will dwell among us. He was talking about the church. So because of that promise, put away filthiness. So we don't gather together and say that this one belongs, this at this part, God come. At this part, God, you are not part of it. All things. He is the head of all things. Number two, not only does the anointing flow out of reverence for the Lord, but the corporate flow of the Spirit is sustained. The anointing is sustained when Christ is given preeminence. So the anointing can start flowing, but it can be interrupted or cannot be sustained. But to even sustain it, we have to give him that preeminence. That means when we are talking about God, it's not only about we mention his name in our gathering, but we honor him in everything. Preeminence means that we honor God in everything when we gather together. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Are you following still? Who is the beginning? That is why I keep saying that morning glory is okay. Today, we will all collect some. We will all collect it. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he may have the what? Preeminence. He may have the honor. Therefore, the anointing, which is the presence and power of God, comes from staying connected to Christ, who is the head and the source of the anointing. If any of the branches, which is the church, according to the book of John, chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, said, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. That branches also can stand for the church. If any of the church disconnect or lose connection with the vine, the flow of the anointing stops. So this is the connection between the reverence for Christ as the head and the flow of the corporate anointing. Because God has made him. So if we gather in his name, then reverence must be given to the name. And we must acknowledge him in all things, honor him all things, as the preeminence. By so, we stay connected and the anointing flows and is sustained. Now, how do we lose the connection to the source when we gather together? Now, let's do the diagnosis. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is where the bomb is. I'll give you eight things that we do. Any of them can block the flow of the anointing in a gathering. Any of them. Number one, casual or irrelevant attitude in corporate gathering. Casual or irrelevant attitude. So if you come to a place and you want to descend to know the true fear of the Lord, that Christ is the preeminence, the head, the one in charge, we have gathered indeed his name with all reverence, the first thing you have to check for is the character, behavior, attitude of the people. Are they casual? Or how? Irrelevant. I'll explain it. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13. Let's read Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah 29:13. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouth, follow me, and honor me with their lips, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of what? Of men. What does it mean to have a casual or irrelevant attitude in the garden? When worship becomes routine, entertainment driven, or careless with less sense of ill towards God. When we gather and it is entertainment driven, routine, or less sense for the awesomeness of God's presence, it shows that the holiness of God is not regarded. Can I give you examples? Joking in the course of worship. Whilst worship is ongoing, there are some people, you see them, the attitude, you see some kind of unseriousness in them. Chewing gum whilst we are worshiping. Awesome God. I agree that one. Really? You see why some churches, there's so much. See, the way the ushers are so hard on people, because the thing you are doing, you are affecting the atmosphere. You are too careless. You think you are. No. Chatting during service, during prayers. Very common. Whilst we are busy praying, some people are so busy having other. Look at me, I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. God is working on this. You see, we want to have the work of the corporate anointing in our midst. Some of these things also, we have to deal with it. So he said, your lips are claiming that you are honoring me, but deep in your heart, your attitude, when you come here, the way and manner you conduct yourself, it tells that I have no regard for my holiness. So why should I be there? I will leave. Performing songs without devotion to our music ministers. Casual, careless, irrelevant attitude. You come here and the way they do it, you maybe have not seen some. That is why I tell you the reason why some of us, we don't go. You see them chit-chatting on their phone, talking. Let's receive minister. If somebody begin to shout, I watch and I say, what is this joke? But you see some of them, they come, they sit down, they compose and say, you see that they are actually connecting to something, even right in the course of the service. See instrumentalists, after they are done playing, they are going for the next shift. They work shift than nurses and doctors. When such attitude is accommodated and tolerated in the gatherings of the believer, forget it. You are losing touch with anointing. There cannot be corporate. No, that gathering is not in his name. Number two, let's move on. Treating the presence of God as common. You see, no, don't place value on the presence of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. Let's listen to what the angel told Moses when he saw the presence of God. The burning bush was the presence of God. Listen to the instructions. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. This was a place that Moses has been taking the sheep to graze. It's one new place. It has been going there all the time. So it's a common place it has been going to. But the moment a burning bush was not consuming, a fire was not consuming the bush, that place ceased to be that common place. It doesn't matter. It's a drinking bar or whatever. The moment we gather there in the name of God, it changes. You can't treat it common. Behave. You think you need to see a very big auditorium, whatever, before you know. No. It is who is there that changes the place. It's not how the place is. So that burning bush at that instant changed the place that Moses has been going all the time. And now at that instant, that place is not a common place anymore. But what's our attitude? Because you have been coming here for the past how many weeks and months, we teach you so common. And let me show you some of the attitude you do. We lose sense that God's presence is holy. So we begin to behave as if church is just another social meeting. In fact, to the extent that now, classroom is more disciplined than church. Lectures, there's more discipline in church. There's more seriousness attached to lectures than church gatherings. Even birthday parties are more of seriousness than church now. You see the way we dress to church. you see the way. You see how we even come to church late. Without remorse. Forgive me. I know you don't like what I'm saying. But it's not me. I have to say it. So that we can all work on it. You see, certain things affect the anointing we are crying for. Let's respect the protocols. People are so comfortable to be late on Sundays that they can intentionally be late because the presence of God is common. You're not serious. God is not there. If you tell God you are meeting at 7:30, be here 7:30. At your best, try and come early. Let's do it. And that is why I'll not stop fighting. It's not because I'm a pastor. You see, way back, even camp meeting, we used to come a day before camp. That should tell how we're serious. It's a thing that we... You see, why should I be late? It's something that we have to cultivate to know where we are going is not a common place. We have to have reverence for that place. So you see that we disrespect sacred moments. mocking spiritual things. When you see people who begin to play joke with spiritual things in the name of trying to create funny, no. They treat the things of God common. There was this guy recently in Ghana who was doing this funny thing about Jesus Christ, and people were seeing it as a normal thing. I said, look at this. This guy has no regard. And if you entertain such things, sometimes you see at the pulpit, you see, some, these are some of the things that some men of God have been crying against, and they think that they are being too, no. Why should we turn the pulpit to a point, a place where we crack jokes? There are other places you can go and gather to do that. I have no problem. But why should we gather in the name of the Lord, and then we will give the microphone to people to come and then make, it's okay. Because we treat the presence of God, come on. If you want that, a church is not stopped from, let me say, we are not stopped from gathering for that purpose. But the moment we gather in the name of the Lord, it must be that the Lord, you can't make fun of the things of God. To the point that now, we are so careless with prophecy. You see that prophecy is going on. I don't know if you see what I'm talking about. Also, what's their prophesying? Or prophecy is coming up. People are just taking it as a casual thing. Casual thing that you clap your hands. That is where it ended. That's what today, you see, now we are struggling to have these true manifestations because we have treated it common and God has withdrew it. Make fun of things of God. Whilst we got, no. It is an act of filthiness. That's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians. It's an act of filthiness. That means that we have no reverence. Number 3. Hypocrisy and hidden sin in the assembly. When believers pretend to be something they are not. You can lie to people, but not to God. No, you can lie to people, but not to God. Appearing righteous but living in sin. Let me give you a scripture. You see, Acts chapter 5, verse 7 to 11. Acts 5, verse 7 to 11. Careful. You know, people come to church now with boldness of living in sin and to lie on top of it, even when they are caught. And you entertain this thing in the church. When it is normalized that people can have the confidence to sin. Like for instance, you find out that this person has made up his mind that as for this thing, I am not doing anything about it. This is what I will do. Call it weaknesses. Weakness is my fault. Where from that one? So you are doing this thing in the glare picture of everybody. But when we come to you, we pretend and we say that nyamesum de wainfa, welcome. In such gathering, forget the anointing. If you entertain, tolerate that, forget it. Let's read. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. This is Ananias and Sapphira. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Well, you didn't fear Apostle Peter. She said, yes, for so much. And listen to what Apostle Peter said. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. For this cause many are weak, and some are seriously sick, and others are what? Dead. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Hypocrisy. Oh, Apostle, we sold the land for 4,000, but you want 3 into the renegotiating. To catch a radi, say radi, but man, the 3,000. God would have accepted it. Because you agree that you are going to bring all the proceeds to God. That was the promise you make. You know, people are so bold enough to stand in the presence of God and make vows and promise and lie, knowing that they are not going to honor it. If I don't want me to come here, I talk, I'm sorry. No. okay, 15 years in here. Basic time for my. Hey, and when we entertain these things at church now as normal, forget the corporate anointing. That is why when we come to church, we preach, we teach, we rebuke that people will repent and that we can get things in order. Then now we know that at this point, we have set ourselves in the motion for God to help us. God is not saying that you're a perfect being, but God hates you trying to be who you are not. He hates it. It stinks. The difference between David and Saul. David! Oh, yes, I've sinned. So, it is because the people said this. You are always right. We have to help ourselves. So if you are living in sin, be honest, be helped. There's nothing like weakness. Because he has taken our weakness and he has given us his strength. I'm dealing with my, he's helping me. If today I would, yes, God help me. I will not hide it. How many have I given so far? Are you sure? You have done 3. Okay, let's move to the 4th one. Dishonoring spiritual authority or leadership. A church where we gossip about our leaders, rebel against them, or disregard godly leadership. That is rejecting God's order. That church, forget corporate anointing. After service, hey, did you see the shirt that pastor wore today? Alright, so for my wife, doesn't he have soap in the house? Gossip. The same one the pastor preached. It was not important. It is the appearance of the pastor. And the way he was counseling some people. Hey, did you see how Pastor Bless was? Gossip. Rebels. Is it rebellion? It's simply disobedience. I was not the one who said it. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, if I'm right. When Samuel was rebuking, so he said, disobedience is as what? Rebellion and as witchcraft. So when we instruct you and you disobey, you are a rebel. When you are told to do something and you refuse to do it, you are a rebel. Being a rebel does not need to become, see, you graduate. You see, there's first class 1 rebel, and then we have the university graduate in rebellion. You have the university graduates. But rebellion starts from disobedience. What are the things that you have been told to do that you have disobeyed? You are a rebel. And you come in that state of rebellion. You see, that is why you see, when we say we are all fasting and praying, you when Shemima, Minyamie, Shemima. You are a rebel, though. You are a rebel. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Said, do not grieve those who have made shepherd over you. And in Numbers chapter 12, you know that in Numbers chapter 12, God made it clear to Miriam and Aaron that dishonor towards the people he God has appointed is also dishonor towards him. If the people he has appointed as head, he knows how to handle them. He has not made you a corrector of them. So a church where, I tell you, see, we thank God that Sam is not here, but there are some churches, even on Sunday, the pastor is even careful what we say. Have you ever heard the story of Bishop Doug? That when he started the church early those days, on every Saturday, he has a running stomach. Because after he's done preaching, what they'll do to him? These things I'm saying is why today you see we are struggling to see the manifestation of God's power. There's no revival. It's because there are a lot of rebels in the church. A lot of gossips. So they come to Sunday for gist and filler. They have created pages for discussions. Number 5, right? Which I've already dealt with. Division, strife, and lack of love among believers. when there is disunity, competition, gossip, tribalism within the gathering of the believers, forget the glory of God. Forget it. It's a revelation that our egos supersedes the glory of God. So in the church, there's competition. We complement each other. We don't compete each other. Some of you compete to the extent that you have to compete in dressing. And why is it that this woman is coming with this kind of bag? Next week, I'll bring my own. Competition. No. Division. All these things affect. These are signs of we losing touch to the corporate anointing. So when you come to a church that you can notice the clear division, this one greets, this group of people don't greet this group of people, and this group of people cannot sit with these people, this one run away, because of time. I want to just number seeking personal glory rather than God's glory, becoming an entertainment minister or making the church an entertainment point. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 8, very dangerous scripture. I am the Lord, that is my name. Now you see that with all the scriptures we have read, the key word you will see is that Lord, Lord, Lord. Have you seen them? Where two or three gather in my name, he wants to be Lord. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved image. But today, we are more interested in sharing God's glory. I see some of these things. Let me share. Recently, a friend of mine who used to come here and minister came to tell me an experience he had with one Nigerian minister. And in fact, I want to say this with all boldness. I thank God for some individual ministers in Nigeria. But Nigeria is a bad example of to learn in terms of ministry. As it stands now, they are a bad example. They don't show the picture of the true church. Ghana is far better. Then now they have come to the point that they have what you call the Ministry of Correction in Nigeria. And this one will attack this one, and the sons will come and respond, the sons of the prophet. And this one, you see, so I tell you, with all honor and respect, I respect some individuals, but Nigeria as a whole, I don't look up to them. They don't give a good example. Look, Ghana here, we have better examples. You hardly see our fathers in the Lord doing that. Have you seen Bishop Dag and Reverend Eastwood exchanging before? Even though some of them, we do have an idea that there's some little strife among them, but you never see it. Nigeria, they have drawn the line. And they want to show that this person is better. I will say it, and to be in this recording. So this Nigerian minister came to Ghana. Song minister, very popular one. Most of you know him. But me, from the day one when I heard the song, I never liked him. My wife will always say that. I said, no. There is something called about the witness of the spirit. This guy it doesn't click. Took microphone after some very serious Ghanaian ministers, like Uncle Ato, came to minister and he took the microphone. After singing for 2 minutes, have you noticed I've brought the presence of God? You say, He came to him and said, Osofu, this is what is going on. And said, and you were still there. So I left. I said, good. Because God left at that moment. You came from with the presence of God. So you are there. Yeah, Lord Jesus. And see, personal glory. He wants the people to know that without him, they can't have the glory of God. So you see that personal glory. So the reason why there are a lot of corrections in Nigeria right now, because people want to be. So if somebody has said something wrong, can't we correct in love? Or don't you know most of the things I teach here are corrections? You don't know. Or don't know most of the things that Daddy Joe teaches us are correction. Listen carefully. The reason why you don't do certain things that a lot of people are doing because you have been told what is wrong from right. That is correction. So when we teach here, even the teachings we teach every day, they bring correction and rebuke. Must it be that you have to attack the personality of people? Why? For personal glory. So people come to sing, preach, do everything also for all because they want to share God's glory. That glory will not even come down for you to even share some. If the point, you know, that is why now if you invite certain people, they want to know the crowd you have, the class of people. Some ministers will not go to certain places. Not because God didn't say they shouldn't go there, because of their personal glory at stake. When you go for such gathering and you see such things entertained, run. That's why there are some songs you have been listening to till today. Nothing has happened to your life. But I keep encouraging you to listen to Adam Reku. You don't want to mind me. It will help you better than a lot of the songs you listen now. They are product of pride and personal glory. Personal glory. See, it's to show that you are proud and you lack reverence for God. So God, do you know that I'm the one that they are falling under the anointing? That's what they're trying to say. So as I'm preaching and yes, you know, yes. Did you see how yes, it's not God. That's why today it is so easy for people to get up from wherever they are and start to do things in the name of doing things in the God without even having an encounter and prayer with God. Saturday nights, whenever I come to church, you see my eyes red. It's not because of anything, though. Or you think I cannot just put words together and come and tell you my peace of mind? In today's age, where everything can be accessed on internet. No! I have to speak the mind of Christ to you. So in as much as I've prepared, he has to breathe on it. So sometimes I can type the messages, but Saturday evening, a lot of things have changed in that message. Me, myself, I didn't know that I'm going to teach corporate anointing in this week. I didn't even know. Now, I said that we are going to talk about steward anointing. If I tell the first message I'll preach, I don't know. I think I cannot go and Google it. I can. I can get books and read and get them. But why? No. It must be God. Hallelujah. Quick. Lack of repentance and conviction. Psalm 55 verse 19. Now, our gatherings, when you come to a place and the gathering is full of excitement, but no transformation or repentance, it shows that God's presence is never even there. Now, if you conduct this, diagnosis on many churches, you find out. Now, we spend more time to sing and do all kinds of things than to preach about repentance, teach people to live godly life. Do you know why now worship programs are more in our system than prayer? And don't even talk about teaching service. Bible, some of you attend. Zero. Why? Because we want to be entertained. We don't want things that will push us to repentance. Conviction. Let's read Psalm 55 verse 19. God will hear and afflict them even he who abides from old. Selah, because they do not change. Therefore, they do not what? Fear God. When people are not ready to change, forget fear. Don't go to a place where people will not want to hear message of repentance, calling it you are judging them. You are being judgmental. Do not judge. Who says so? The Bible says there is what we call righteous judgment. If you don't understand the word judge, it is three words in the Greek word. One of it is condemnation. Another one is reproof. So we can reprove you, rebuke you, which is an act of judgment. So when the Bible says you judge yourself, it says you should condemn yourself. Another one of judgment is examine. So when we examine you, means we are judging you. And that's what the Bible says you do. What you spoke about last week. He said, judge yourself, that you not be judged. So when he said somebody's judgmental, are you talking of condemnation? We don't condemn, but we will rebuke. And we will cause you to examine yourself. So you go to gatherings that people are interested. So for let more worship come. Hey, Pastor, can we come and say all kinds of things? Nothing about conviction. Nothing about repentance. When you see such gathering, run. Descend it. The day you see that this pulpit is not talking about anything that will cut your heart, look for another church. Hallelujah. Quick. The last one. Right? Eighth, right? Treating offerings and giving lightly. Hey, and this matter. So do you know that offering and giving can affect reverence for God in corporate gathering? In Malachi, when he was dealing with the people of Israel with the matter of giving, let's read verse 7, verse 8. Malachi chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Giving God leftovers. Giving God leftovers. Unworthy. You offer defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the Lord, the table of the Lord is what? Contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Let me ask you, the offering that you are giving to God, will you give it to your governor? You see, like, there are certain things, and when you talk about it in church, people think that no. Sometimes the way we give, even in church, it tells about how we put the value put on God. You're not bringing it to me. As I said, those people are not in this church. We understand giving. But the truth of the matter is that our attitude towards tithe, offering. You see, if you don't want to give, don't give. You know, God prefers it like that. It is better to come to church and be stingy. Don't give. God is okay with that. Than to give as an give evil. Give to the point that God will call that giving as evil. Giving blind animals and sick animals. So you, that money that is torn, that is what you bring to us as offering. If you are not evil. When you say we should take it to the bank, they'll change it for us. Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that? That is a sign of evil giving. Do you know people do that? Then they'll check and see the money that is the weakest, dirtiest one. And then they'll pick it, fold it, and drop it. You are evil. It's not in the quantity you give. It is the heart that backs what you are giving. Oh, sorry, Quince. No, the question is that what mentality is backing the quench you are giving? I'm not saying quench is wrong. But agreement already if you quench neighbor. Say, I saw them, they are two correction, they are two quench, one CD, two CDs. Do you know people say that? But when you go to the bar, you are evil. I'm not the one saying it. And when such a thing is entertained in a gathering, God sees it as what? An act of disrespect. He leaves. And also, receiving things that are from the evil altar. Pastor, church, you know that this person is into prostitution. You know it very well. You know it's a fraud. You know it very well. You know the things that person is doing. Then one day you get up and bring you 30,000 cedis. And you don't question the source. Sanctified, blessed. Okay. Hallelujah. offering leftovers. Amen. Let's wrap up. So what I mentioned are the things that makes us lose contact with what? The source, the head. So when you go to a church where all these things, you can see some of these things, casual, treating the presence of God common, like all kinds of these things, go and sleep. God is not there. You are wasting your energy. Go and sleep. Find somewhere and go. It's the truth I'm telling you. I'll not waste my energy on that. Now, let's look at evidence of the loss of the fear of God in the assembly of what? Believers. Evidence. Evidence. Now, what I say is what will cause you to lose it. Or things that is done that leads to the loss is the 8 things that I've mentioned. There could be more, but I believe this 8 is enough. Now, let me give you evidence that God is not here. We have lost the presence. Number 1, the Holy Spirit withdraws. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. He withdraws because, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, he is grieved. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When you do this act, when you treat the presence of God as common, when you give leftovers, when your giving is seen in the sight of God as an act of evil, when you are so casual with the things of God, you grieve the Holy Spirit as assembly, you grieve him. That's an act of filthiness. You grieve him. So what happens? He withdraws. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19. You quench him. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. See, let me tell this truth. The fear of God is what creates a dwelling atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he will go where he's respected. Won't you go? Do you go to places that are disrespected? Do you go to places where they don't value your presence? So it is the fear of God that creates the atmosphere for what? So when you come to a gathering and there is reverence for God, there is respect, there is dreadfulness in the people concerning God, I guarantee that God will be there. But the moment he notices that there is nothing of that sort, he withdraws himself out of grieving, and you end up quenching him. So then what happens when the Holy Spirit withdraws? What are the signs? Number one, worship feels empty. You see, I always say this, you people don't know, I don't know if I'm the only one here, but anytime we enter a moment of worship, there is this weight, there is this, how many of you feels that in this church? When there's what, sometimes I tell Edabo, let them flow. When we go for camp meeting and glory choir, you know, those people can carry us for 2 hours, 3 hours, and you feel their weight. It's not empty. Prayerless people. So you see that prayer also lose weight. Miracles begin to diminish. And revelations become shallow. Revelation becomes shallow. So you see the teachings and whatever is coming from the pulpit, it doesn't hold water. Isaiah chapter 63 verse 10. These things will happen because the Spirit of God will rest. See, if you disrespect him, you will not be there. He will withdraw. Let's read. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So what happened? He turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. I pray in the name of Jesus, it shall not be the story of this church, that we will grieve the Holy Spirit. See, when the Bible says grieve not the Holy Spirit, we don't know that when we grieve him, we become enemy. And you see, but don't become the enemy of the Holy Spirit. So they grieved him and he turned against them. I pray, wherever two or more are gathered, you will not do something that will grieve him, because when he is grieved, he will turn against you. I didn't say it. That's it. He turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. You see, sometimes what is happening in the church is because God is fighting us. The Holy Spirit, also, Holy Spirit is fighting some churches. For this cause, many are sick because he's fighting. He's fighting them. They are enemies of him now because they grieved him. They disregarded him. They disrespected him. So you fight them. Strange things happen. You share his glory. You want to take his glory? He will fight you. You want to take God's glory? Go and ask in Herod. He struck him. There was an instant he was struck and he began to rot. Some of us here, some people are just getting rotten. Because now you are enemy of the Holy Spirit. I fear that though. Me. That's why you come. Sometimes you don't understand why Elder Abu is so strict on this whole thing. Don't do this. If you see, when we move to our wherever place you're going, maybe we'll create a place where we'll take phones and put them. When you close, you come for your phone. Do you know, even in some schools, teachers don't take phone to school. If you want to reach, if let's say your wife or your whoever is there working, if you want to reach the person, you have to call the office line and then they'll call the person for you to talk to the person because they don't take phone. People come to church and they're watching movie. Oh, 2 hours, 3 hours, you can't discipline yourself. Even if it is 5 hours, you can't discipline yourself. You have to watch the movie here. Why? Which kind of spirit is doing you? That you grieve the Holy Spirit to become his enemy. You know, is that one from your family? Why? That's why I say people come to church and they are cursed because they grieve the Holy Spirit. That garden grieve the Holy Spirit and they become an enemy to him. Number two. Diminishing strength due to polluted spiritual atmosphere. You see strength diminishing because the atmosphere is polluted. Now, you remember the story in Joshua chapter 7? That I, the smallest of all the towns they faced, defeated them. Why? Because the atmosphere was polluted by Achan. Corporate strength begins to break when one person or when there is an act of dishonor and it is covered. That is why Paul was so angry at the church of Corinth when they harbored the guy who took the father's wife. Have you heard of that story? You didn't read that story? Oh, go to 1 Corinthians. There was a gentleman who snatched his own father's wife. And Paul said, yes. He took the father. And the thing is, and the church covered it. Never thing was done. And Paul said, why would you entertain such a person among you? Don't you know the atmosphere is getting polluted? You weaken in strength. When there is an unrepented sin, spiritual pretense, or moral compromise in the gatherings of the believers, it becomes spiritually polluted. The anointing cannot flow freely in an unclean environment. Therefore, you know what happens there? That place becomes a place of noise without power. Emotion without transformation. They'll cry and cry and cry and go back and still enter their boyfriend's room for sleepover. They'll be very emotional. Hey, what pastor said? I have decided to follow Jesus. But the moment you say amen, you follow the boyfriend straight to the house to continue from where they left. Do you know why? Atmosphere is polluted. So emotions were triggered, but transformation was not. So that is the place of noise. We will shout and scream. We are the chosen generation. We jump, jump, jump. I know. After they have sweat and everything, they go back. There is nothing to show. This was what Pastor Mensah Utabe was crying against. That we speak vocabs of tongues. Yes, there is nothing to show for it. He was not actually against tongue speaking. But he has seen a generation where they can speak all kinds of British tongues. And oh, la la masakaya. No laugh, I'm serious. So, all kinds of British tongues. American accent tongues. You can switch to Korean. and give you the Ghana version of tongues. After everything, there is nothing to see. People's tongues are a combination of Dr. Mpia Kofi, Archbishop Duncan Williams, Reverend Eastwood, and a little touch of Kenneth Hagan. Number Revelation chapter 3 verse 1. Let's read the scripture on that. You see, the polluted spiritual atmosphere is what Revelation chapter 3 verse 1 gives us. Listen to what I said. It said, and to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. Listen, that you have a name, that you are alive. But what? You are dead. So, oh, we know you. You are popular. Oh, this church. You are dead. Because little. Say mercy. Reverence for God is very important. We can't be wasting our energy when we... No, we can't do that. We can't do that. Number three. I'm closing soon. Number three. Absence of alignment with heaven's order. When you go to a place where there is no reverence for God and the spirit of... They don't reverence God. Like, you go there. One of the things you see is that there is no reverence for... There's no alignment with heaven's order. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. A very important scripture. Do you know that when we respect God, we fear God, we align. Because he's in charge. So he tell you what to do. He takes charge. Now listen. He said, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as is in heaven. When you go to a church where there's no reverence for God, this scripture is not in their Bible. You can open all their Bibles, you'll not find it there. I'm telling you the truth. They don't have it there. At that place, our kingdom has come. Oh, and our will be done. And then later on, we'll consider your own. That's their version of the scripture. So, see, when the sphere of God, it positions the heart under divine order. The heart of men falls under divine order. When the reverence is missing, gatherings will drift to man's order. Church doctrine becomes the order of the day. Not God's. So, it is that point that pastor becomes the living word. My pastor is the living word. It is at that point you realize that the word of God is not the ultimate over there. It is what pastor said. So if pastor said we should smoke cinnamon and we'll enter the realms of the spirit, forget whatever you say. It is going to be Gary. There's no divine order. No. It's man's order. Man's order. Watch out. When you find yourself among people or place where the word of God is not the ultimate, a man's voice surpasses God's word. Run. That place, there's no reverence for God. There's no reverence. Last one. So before I go there, when there's this spiritual misalignment, these are some of the things I want you to note. You see confusion, disorder, and fleshy manifestation. Confusion and disorder. Confusion. Do you know confusion? The Bible says, for the Spirit of God is not an author of what? Confusion. So when you go to a place and you see confusion, where people are not clear in their mind, they don't know whether they should go left or right. I don't just say, but you know what I'm talking about. When you ask them questions on also for tithe, they don't know whether they should go left or right. On holiness, they don't know whether they should go left or right. When you begin to, you find out that these people are living confusion. Do you know a living confusion? If you want confusion to explain, point to that person. What is confusion? Mr. Semasi. Oh, okay. I understood. When you see that, and a clear indication that there's no reverence for God. There's no order. Disorder. Hallelujah. Number four, Ichabod. God's glory departs. When the fear of God is lost, God's glory departs quietly. The people may still have rituals, programs. They'll be doing all those things. But I tell you, there's nothing to show for it. So in Israel, the Bible said, the tabernacle of Moses, people were still going there even when the ark of God was not there. So you come to church, and church is so predictable that you know that when we start from here, we will end here, and it's still the same thing. Ichabod. I pray. Descending the true fear of God. You see, when you come to a place and you notice that these are the things, you see this diagnosis, it tells you that forget the corporate anointing. Hallelujah. Reverence is the key to divine visitation. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2. Reverence, fear of the Lord, is the key to divine visitation. There can't be a divine visitation without reverence for God. For all those things my hand had made, and all those things as it says the Lord God, but on this one will I look. That means that I will give attention on him who is poor and of a contrite what? Spirit. And he who trembles at what? My word. I pray for you. I pray for you. And I pray for the church. May we never lose the reverence for God. In Acts chapter 9 verse 31. Look at what the Bible said about them. In Acts chapter 9 verse 31. He said, on this one will I look. The one with a contrite spirit and the one who trembles. Now listen to what Acts chapter 9 verse 31 said about the church. It said, and throughout, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. I pray, Kabdala Messiah. See, the peace that has left the church, while we are not being built, we are not being edified, is because the fear of the Lord has departed. But I pray, oh Jesus, I pray. Lord, we see the peace we are enjoying here can be under threat. Just one act of not revering God can cause us so many. Oh, Anamasuvele Gadabaya. He said, and they walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You see, I pray for you. And this is what we will have to pray for this church. And I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray. The Lord, may we never take any act that will make you grieve. May we never become your enemy. TMI can never be the enemy of God. The body of Christ in Ghana, Lord, if we have become your enemy, have mercy. If we have grieved you, oh Holy Spirit, have mercy. If we have grieved you, oh God, have mercy. The Bible said, and they were at peace and were edified because they walked in the fear of the Lord. Oh Lord Jesus, Mandele Mekovasaya. Oh Labrana Makavasinele Meseyaka. Mandila Makobala Satakaya. Once we gather and we expect revival, once we gather and we expect breakout, because of these little things that we take for granted, we struggle. Lord, we pray that this church will never be an enemy of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, help us that we will not grieve you. Help us that we will always make you the preeminence, the head of everything we do. Because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. Lord, we gather in your name with all reverence to you, Lord. Mandela Siaka. Lora Badama Satakaya. Ishende Breka Balabasaya. And Dina Messiah. Lord, help us to always check ourselves out, to make sure that from our opening prayer to even our closing service, whenever we gather, there is reverence for you, Lord. There is reverence for you, Lord. Help us to descend at every given time that we have reverence for you. That anointing is coming. Oh, Magdala Saya. The Bible said the very moment that Achan was eliminated from the team, when Israel went, it fell to Israel. Oh Lord, help us. There are many things that seems like it is overpowering the church. Why? It's because there is no reverence. The fear of the Lord is no more in the church. Mama Kobro Sila Vakaya. Mandele Mekova Labasiande. Oh, are you praying? Are you praying? The Lord help this church. And we are praying for mercy. We are praying for mercy. We are praying for mercy. The fear of the Lord. We are praying for mercy. There should be an encounter. Let there be an encounter. Let there be an encounter. Any church, anybody who is losing grip of the reverence for God, let there be an encounter. Let there be an encounter. Makabala Basayaha. The Bible said in the book of Exodus, God manifests himself to them that he will teach them not to sin against him. Let there be an encounter. Let there be an encounter that we will fear you, Lord. That we will fear you, Lord. That we will fear you, Lord. Makora sila bakadine mesata. Milana makovila siake. Randina makula vabasanda kaya. Alio shema ladia takaya. May we not treat your presence as an act of commoning, a common thing. Your presence can never be common to us anymore. May we not be casual with you. May we not be casual with you. What shall we be, O Lord, without you? So today we also want to pray that, Lord, if your presence goeth not forth with us, we do not live. We do not live. We do not live. We do not live. O Lord, the Bible said the fear of you is the beginning of wisdom. The respect and reverence for you and the dreadfulness of you is where wisdom begins. Help us to keep in that alignment. Makeleva Sandabaya. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.